Welcome to the Writer's Weekly Podcast, a forum geared toward the writing enthusiast and those who want to make money from their writing. I'm Brian Whidden, Managing Editor of Writer's Weekly, and I'll be your host along with Angela Hoy, the creator of Writer's Weekly, and President and CEO of BookLocker.com, a full-service book publishing company. Whether you want to learn how to become a professional writer, how to find writing gigs, or even publish your own book, then you come to the right place. We'll be discussing all kinds of topics relating to the writing and publishing industries. Don't forget, you can also click over to writersweekly.com. There you'll find not only thousands of articles about professional writing, you can also find current paying markets and job listings to help you boost your writing career and even your bottom line. But for now, let's get on to this episode of the Writers Weekly Podcast. And welcome back to another episode of the Writers Weekly Podcast. Actually, this is part two of episode one. We're continuing from last week. So last week we discussed, Welcome, Angela Hoy.
Oh, I'm here.
See, I'm excited to jump into this. We had a lot of fun last week.
We did.
It was fun. And we're raring and ready to go. Okay. So last week we discussed the problem with all these scammers, that we're seeing this big influx of scammers. They're international. And it seems that once you get one of their websites shut down somewhere, three more pop up. And it's getting pretty crazy. Just to review from last week's episode, basically we were talking about, we've identified at this point over 1,000. I know in last week's episode when I was reviewing it, we talked 900, we talked 1,000, but we have over 1,000 at this point. There are, basically what they're doing is they're offering publishing services, writing services, editing services, you name it. You send them your money, and they have these websites that look really, really professional, and it looks like a legit company. You send these people your money, they're going to do one of two things. They're going to take your money, and you're not going to get anything out of it, and they're going to disappear. Or they're going to say, okay, well, we've got this part of your book done, but you need to give us another $500 to do that part of your book. Or, you know, we've finished this service, but to get your finished product, you're going to have to give us more. And they're going to try to get more money out of you. And in the end, if at any point when you start questioning them, they'll disappear. Bottom line is you don't get what you paid for, and they disappear on you, and you don't get your money back. These are overseas scammers, and there's no way for the U.S. to touch them. At least right now there aren't. And we talked about some things that, Angela, that you found that helped you be able to identify these websites when you pulled them up. And we're going to be able to review that again today, because we're going to help the listeners find out how they can identify these websites before they take a big step. So at this point, we're talking now about what the Writers Weekly team has been doing to try to combat this situation. Before, it was in the past, it was kind of enough to write some bad articles about these things going on. Now, again, like we said last week, it was never at this level. It was a publisher didn't pay a writer for writing an article for them, or a magazine or something. Or it was somebody that was offering some services that didn't really give the author any value to their book sales or anything. And you would write a few negative articles about them, it would circulate around, and next thing you know, the writer gets paid.
Or they get a refund.
They get a refund, yeah. The company cleans up his act, and voila, we're good. But that's not happening now. It's taking a lot more effort, even to try to get in contact with these companies.
Can I break in for a second?
Absolutely.
The reason that it's changed is because back in the day, the scammers were located in the United States and they wanted to stay in business. Now the scammers are in Pakistan, India, and the Philippines. And they don't care if their website gets shut down, because within 3 minutes, they're going to put another one right back up there and just use a different URL.
Yeah.
And often it's the exact same website.
Something I was thinking about when I was reviewing our last episode, do you think they're using something like WordPress and they basically just have a website? Because you say that they look so similar. Do you think they just have a template standing by, ready to just launch another one, just fill it with some more, you know, pictures, different images, launch it again, on different name?
Absolutely. Most of the websites are strikingly similar. A few different colors, different logo, different book covers, but the same moving parts, the same trademarks, major media that occur, you know, in a strip, and the bottom, you know, the contact information is different, but it's presented in the exact same way.
So these scammers have worked it out to a fine-tuned machine.
Yeah.
To where you shut one of their websites down, they can create three more in the same day.
Yeah.
So we have like a multi-headed hydra that you can never really kill it all off.
Mm-hmm.
At least not yet. So
working on it.
So let's talk about James Walsh. You want to tell me a little bit about this man?
James M. Walsh is an attorney, and I was on Facebook, reading my feed, and I kept seeing these ads come up for these publishing services, and I started noticing that they were all very similar. And we talked yesterday about the Injust, Get Published Injust, $199. Well, I noticed that there was a gentleman posting underneath these posts and ads, calling them out as scammers. And I started researching the companies, and he was right. The ones he were calling out were scams. So I went to his personal page on Facebook and sent him a private message. And I said, "Hey dude, we're doing the same thing. Let's team up." And that's when I found out he's a lawyer, and he has done all of this work on his own time. He hasn't gotten paid for any of it, because he's just a really good guy. And the reason he started this was because he co-authored a book with an elderly gentleman, and that elderly gentleman got scammed by publishingmojo.com, which we have featured on writersweekly.com several times. Then he was scammed by another foreign company that charged him several hundred dollars to do a press release that never got sent out. And then he was almost scammed by a third company. And this is happening to lots of elderly people. So James made it his mission to go after this foreign scam cartel. And he's been doing it, I think, for over a year now. And I hooked up with him several months ago. So that's how we met.
And in a official, unofficial way, he's kind of joined the Writers Weekly team as well.
Yes, he has actually written several articles for us. He writes outstanding articles, and he brings he can make legalese understandable to anybody. And he knows the law, and he knows what laws are being broken.
If I can back us up just a minute, I forgot to touch on one thing when we were getting started here, as we meant to mention. So we recorded our last episode yesterday. We're catching up the second episode today, finishing up this two-part episode. We actually received yet another scam victim. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
I was interviewed today by a major international news syndicate, and you've all heard of it, and we'll bring it up later, but they're still doing their investigation, so we're not going to share much right now. Our advocacy work to protect authors from scammers, they contacted me.
Mm-hmm.
They were referred to me by Victoria Strauss with Writer Beware, and she's awesome. So writerbeware.org, that's another website you really want to go to.
Shout out Victoria Strauss.
That's right. Yeah, she's a sweet lady. And she's brave. She's been sued lots of times. And she just keeps on going. She's not afraid of anything.
She's kind of a bulldog, a hard girl.
Yeah. So about 15 minutes before I was supposed to get on Zoom with this new syndicate, I got an email from a guy. And he said he got scammed by one of the scammers that uses Amazon's name, but they're not Amazon, to the tune of $72,500. I reached out to him after the interview because the new syndicate, I talked to two reporters. One was in New York and one was in Germany. and they wanted names of victims. I said, well, I'll send the victims to you if they want to contact you, because a lot of these people are embarrassed that they've been scammed. I reached out to 7 victims today and immediately heard back from 3 of them saying they would immediately contact that news syndicate to them, and including the $72,500 victim.
Yeah.
James, I was contacted by a gentleman named Bruce, and he was scammed by Publishing Mojo and by another company before that. And James has been giving him legal advice for free. And Bruce also agreed to reach out to the new syndicate. And then another woman who hired one of these companies to edit her book and received back a book that was full of English errors because somebody who was not an English speaker edited her book. And she got ripped off. She also is reaching out to them. But these are all part of the same international crime syndicates that are targeting authors in the United States.
And you mentioned Publishing Mojo. I don't remember if we mentioned that earlier, but that is one of the companies you identified as a scam company, mm-hmm. that it doesn't exist other than it. There's a website. And I believe that's the was that the company that scammed James's co-author?
Yes.
Yeah. And then just about 2 hours ago, when I was talking to you, you were on your phone on a Facebook group.
Yeah.
And you were trying to explain to somebody about another one of these companies. Explain what happened to there.
So somebody posted in one of the author groups on Facebook that he was trying to figure out how to get money to Random House. Random House had emailed him and wanted to publish his book, and they needed him to pay them money. And he was quite, not how to get the money, but something about the payment. And I put a comment in there and I said, it's not Random House, it's a scam. And he came back and started arguing with me, telling me it was the real deal, and sent me the actual website for Random House, except in the UK. And I said, that's not who contacted you, because Random House doesn't charge authors money. They just pay authors money.
No,
they publish the book. So it's very surprising. And this keeps happening. The more victims we hear from, the more when they really realize, oh my gosh, I'm never getting my money back. I've been totally ripped off. Sometimes they have some kind of flip in their brain or something, and they start trying to convince themselves once again that they're not a victim of a scam.
I think that that's, I guess, kind of a fight or flight response.
Must
where
be.
You realize that if you accept what it looks like,
mm-hmm.
you're going to suddenly get that heart in your throat feeling and maybe have a heart attack when you realize you just gave the wrong people so much money.
I also heard from somebody today that wants to be very secretive about being victimized because the person's spouse doesn't know how many tens of thousands of dollars this victim spent, and that person is terrified the spouse is going to find out and get upset with them.
And with the Random House scammers, did they flat out use the name Random House? It wasn't a version of Random House. It wasn't a Random House something that doesn't exist. Was it Random House?
Hi, I have not Random seen House. The ad, but the guy okay. used the term Random House.
Yeah.
Two words.
So this is how, I mean, just how flagrant it is on both sides. The scammer just coming out using the names of major publishers, whereas and the victims really want to believe that's the publisher.
Yeah, and I was explaining to the news syndicate this morning that major New York publishers, the real ones, actually have scam warnings on their websites now saying, this is not us, that's not us, we don't email authors, we don't, you know, we only accept through literary agents, we don't charge authors any sort of thing like that. And it's so prolific that that's why they have warnings up on their websites.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not just us noticing it. I don't know whether or not the major publishing houses understand the scope of the situation.
Oh, they definitely do.
Something has caused them to have to put those notices on their websites.
And the scammers aren't just using the names of the publishing companies. They're copying their logos. They're copying their coloring of their design. They're copying their websites. I saw one. It was one that was impersonating Macmillan Publishers, mm-hmm. and the website was almost identical. I mean, almost. All they did was change the name at the beginning. They put MC instead of MAC at the very top, the little bitty company name at the top. Same book covers, same everything, But of course, if you click, it's going to the scammer, not going to the actual publisher. Mm-hmm. They're very sophisticated.
Mm. Kind of reminds me of the one of the warnings they give you if somebody like from the IRS or, you know, any government agency calls you up and says you owe us money or whatever. Hang up with them and then you look up the actual phone number of that agency and you call them.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, did you call, you know, here's my name, here's my information. Did you call me and ask for my, and, you know, nine times out of ten, they're going to tell you no.
One of the Netflix scams that's going around that these companies pretending to be Netflix, they actually used a real name of an employee at Netflix and his real email address.
Wow.
It was under his name. But if you reply to the email, it didn't go to him. It went to the scammer. But it really looked legitimate.
And one way to, I'm going to jump the shark here for a minute.
That's fine.
And jump forward. One way to know what's going on in that kind of situation, if a website has a contact form, if you will hover your mouse over that contact form, in the bottom left of your screen, you should see little fine print jump up that'll say mail to : and it'll be an email address.
Mm-hmm. That's for website. I mean, emails as
for
well.
For emails, yeah. And website. And you, if you look at that and look at the URL that's going to either send an email to, or if you click on it, go to, a lot of times you're going to find it's not randomhouse.com or, you know, wherever you think you're sending it. If that email address or that website address looks a little off, you probably shouldn't be clicking that link.
And you really have to have your reading glasses on because
it is small.
With the Macmillan one, it was literally Macmillan is the real one.
Mm.
And the fake one was Macmillan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they would go back and forth, vice versa, take off one L, add an extra L, that kind of thing. So you really have to make sure, is this the real thing?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's where we're going to talk a little bit later about do a little bit of your own research.
Mm-hmm.
and pay attention to the details. All right. So let's go back. We've got James Walsh Esquire now joining the team and he's doing his thing. And so we've also assigned other Book Locker employees to start following connections. Give me a little idea what that looked like.
Well, Mason is a new employee and he loves doing internet research and he's very good with tech stuff. So we put him on it. He's doing it almost full time right now. Okay. Clayton Jones is a gentleman who does editing for our authors. He's a University of Tennessee professor, English
mm-hmm.
professor.
Mm-hmm.
I sent him the information and he set us up with a spreadsheet on Dropbox and his account that we can all access at the same time. So you don't go in and ruin what somebody else just put in there and have to save it. It just when Mason and I are in there together, I can see the updates he's making and he can see what I'm doing. So that's been huge. I spend several hours a week on it. I'm the one that checks Mason's work. We have to go in, get screenshots of everything because God forbid we put up a scammer that's not a scammer. You know, we make sure if we put them up, if they're on our website, don't do business with them under any circumstances whatsoever. We have crossed all our T's and dotted all our I's. So, and that's mainly, Mason, myself, James, and then Clayton is, of course, giving us advice and all along the way.
Okay. So we've started digging and we have a system of how we identify what websites are scammers and which websites aren't scammers. And so, James started trying to put out the Facebook fire a little bit. Tell me about his efforts to initially to contact Facebook.
Well, if you see an ad on Facebook or a Facebook page for a company, you can report that to Facebook if there's something amiss. Well, the only thing you can do when you report it to Facebook is click a button. There's no box that pops up where you can say, hey, this company's doing this. It's trademark infringement. They stole my book cover. It's on their ad, everything. Facebook has no idea what's going on. All they know is, oh, somebody didn't like this page or this ad. And 99.9% of the time, you'll hear back from Facebook and they'll say, we don't see anything wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what James was experiencing.
And if I'm correct, you all found a contact at Facebook.
Well, I started also reporting them to Facebook, and I was getting the same thing over and over again. So I got on Google one day, and I looked up Chief Legal Officer Meta, which is the parent company of Facebook. And her name is Jennifer Newstead. And if you want her email address, let me know.
Jennifer Newstead.
She is a chief legal officer at Meta.
Okay.
Yeah. I got her email address and I mailed her and Department of Justice, FBI, several other agencies to get her attention. And I just boldly put to all, and I addressed, you know, date, her name, their corporate office. It was a very, you know, legal, a very specific professional legal letter, and told her what was going on. I received an email from Meta's investigations unit, and they basically said, thank you for letting us know about this. We're extremely concerned. Please send us what you have.
Okay. Let's hold that there, because there's more to that story.
Yeah.
But we're gonna leave that as a little teaser. We'll catch up on that in a minute there. Okay. So you also, I know that you've actually gone on some of these scammers' websites and acted like an interested author. Tell me about that.
Oh. Well, first of all, they all have very American sounding names, and I can tell you they're fake. They almost all of them. You know, you click on the little chat box pops up on the bottom right hand corner, and they immediately jump on you. Hi, tell me about your book. Do you want your book for sale on Amazon? They always mention Amazon. And I would engage them. And sometimes I would engage them directly on Facebook, private messaging. And the lies they will tell to get money out of you. And the funniest one was, and this has happened several times, ask them to send you links to Amazon to their bestsellers. Ask for 5 best-selling books. And I'll bet you a buck that what you get back are links to Amazon books that they did not publish. If you look further down on the page, the name of the publisher, not that company. If you, and we'll discuss this later, if you know when that website was created, you'll see that almost all, if not all of these books were published before that website was even in existence. And that is copyright infringement. It's also fraud. So I had some very interesting conversations, including I was just talking to one today. I told him you're a scammer. I know you're a scammer. He kept wanting to talk to me. And I'm like, oh, I'll play this game. Last night, I sent him the link to writersweekly.com/scams. He came back at me this morning, still wants me to sign up. And he sent me 2 bestseller links to Amazon. One of them, it is a bestseller. They didn't publish it. It is a bestseller. It's in the most remote category you can imagine on Amazon. It's children's books for doctor's offices. I've never seen that category before. But you know what? It is a bestseller. They didn't publish it, but that was pretty funny.
I remember when I first published my book, and I think for a day, it was number one in one of those categories.
Really obscure categories.
That I put it up on, because I think we choose, we choose 3 different 3 categories to list it for SEO purposes.
Yeah.
For about a day, I was number one.
Yeah.
And then
you're number one because you sold one copy.
The next day, I was like number 500,299. Right. So, you know, but hey, for a day, I was a bestseller. So, okay. And I know that you would engage these people, and then eventually you would be like, you would tell them, you know, I know you're a scammer, and we either wrote an article or we're about to write an article on you. Go see writersweekly.com, see what I say about scammers, and we'd like a comment from you to defend what you're doing.
And then they go poof.
They either disappear.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you get some other responses and a little pushback from them. Would you like to share a little bit about what you're...
Oh, I guarantee we're not a scammer. Every scammer says that. Yeah. The guy today said, you know we're not a scammer because we accept PayPal. Try to wrap your head around that one. So he gave me several reasons why they're not a scammer, and I responded with, has every scammer's ever said that? Says every scammer.
And that tells you how organized these people are, because that means they have people sitting there doing these chat room. There are these chat boxes.
These are not bots.
And
these are real
people. These are human beings. Mm-hmm. And you know they have a script.
Oh, absolutely.
When somebody says, I think you're a scammer, they already have bullet points on a script somewhere to come back at you and say, no, I'm not a scammer for this reason, this reason, this reason.
I think it even goes further than that. I think they can click one button and fill that box with a response just like that.
Oh, sure. For example, response, yeah.
I was talking with one that was responding astronomically quickly to me, and I asked where they were located. No human had time to type that. No human had time to copy and paste it. It was bang. The whole, and it wasn't just street, address, city. It was all the way United States of America. That was included in it, too.
Now, who with an address in the U.S. would say, I'm at 123 Main Street in such and such a city, United States of America.
Uh-huh. Or even USA.
Or even USA, yeah.
Yeah. So if you do choose to engage the scammers online, and it can be extremely entertaining, you'll start to see that they've got, they're working some magic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's very sophisticated. Oh, also, I've gotten upset with them at times and taken my day out on them by telling them, why are you working in a call center in Pakistan or India making almost no money? I'm sure you're working on commission and you're wasting your time on me. Why don't you get a real job? Well, James Walsh actually got one of the, he said that something similar to one of the scammers. And the guy apologized and said, I just really need to make money for my family.
Wow.
And James says that especially in Pakistan, Clayton said this, there is a culture there that they know they're ripping off Americans, and that's considered
okay.
It's considered a good thing to do over there. They want to rip off Americans.
Well, I think when you're a poor person in Pakistan, poverty in Pakistan is what we think of poverty in the United States is nothing compared to poverty in Pakistan, India, some of these places. And most Americans have no concept of what real poverty looks like.
And you saw poverty when you were serving in
Somalia. Yeah. Yep. And yeah, it's these people will do anything for enough money to feed their family for a day. And everybody from there looks at every American as absolutely scum. Filthy rich. Well, scum maybe, but they think we all have just money to burn. Absolutely.
The word I was looking for is it's honorable.
Honorable.
To steal money from Americans.
That's an interesting culture.
Yeah.
Well, you've also been threatened with lawsuits.
Oh, I got to tell you, Publishing Mojo, they're hilarious. We at first expose them to our Writers Weekly readers because they ripped off James Walsh and his co-author. Then, so James wrote an article for us about them, and then they contacted me, and he wrote another article about them, and then I contacted them because we dug up so much about that company. They've been sued twice for trademark infringement by major corporations, not little companies. The list goes on and on and on. This company's so dirty. And they own several websites. Well, Publishing Mojo, after we ran the first two articles, actually filled out our contact form on Writers Weekly. And they wanted to write an article for Writers Weekly on how to self-publish your book. Now, I get all those contact forms myself. And I was the one who was editing the articles by James. And I'm the one that wrote the big article. They did it like twice over 2 weeks. And I sat there, opened the email, and went, do they think I'm that stupid? Do they think that somebody else at this company wouldn't know that we just ran this huge expose about their company? So they never said we're going to sue you. But they, you know, they use the language like, you know, you really, it's hurting our reputation. And you need to take it down and everything. And I sent them one, and the entire email is an article on our website on Writers Weekly. And I responded to every one of his complaints where he said, this isn't true. That's not true. Yeah, it is true. Yes, it is. And here's the proof. Here's screenshots. I mean, I laid it on him and never wrote me back.
Yeah.
And that was after they, you know, you got to take it down. You're going to put us out of business. At some point, I think Oliver, I know the guy's name isn't really Oliver, working at Publishing Mojo, that had been talking back and forth with James and his co-author, complained that if we didn't take it down, he might lose his job. Boo-hoo.
Yeah.
Fine.
Better you lose your job than me lose my money.
Right.
And we've recently had to kind of bolster our security measures around the home and office.
Yep. Yeah, we won't go into detail right now.
No,
but we have had to increase our security measures from a business standpoint and from a personal standpoint because of messages we have received from these people.
And we really have no way of knowing how connected these people may or may not be
to people who are actually located on U.S. soil.
When somebody tells me they're going to do something, I choose to take them serious.
Yes, right. Yeah.
And, but then again, that's why we live in a pro Second Amendment state.
That's true.
All right. So, Facebook. Mm-hmm. Now, we both know that Facebook is very, very diligent about making sure that they don't allow any misinformation on their website.
Mm-hmm.
I know this because, nobody could say anything about COVID.
Right.
When COVID was hitting, nobody could question the vaccines. Nobody mm-hmm. could question whether masking worked. Nobody could question whether or not the virus worked the same in a church as it does in a street protest. Somehow, if you gather in a church, you will get infected with COVID. If you gather out in the street to protest the president or burn down a city, well, then COVID doesn't affect you somehow.
Well, and we could get into all that, but fact is, Facebook recently admitted that they were doing that.
That's true.
Under a different administration. So we know they were doing it because they've admitted it.
I remember when I, after I published my book, I actually started a blog to help market the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I would cover various incidents involved, you know, police incidents and the political atmosphere surrounding police situation. And one of the things I posted on Facebook to draw people to my blog so that then people would see my advertisement for my book and hopefully buy my book, was an article on, I believe it was one of these ambushes, just flat out ambush on a cop. And with the link to that article, I mentioned the way these things are going, and with the political atmosphere, we are going to see a huge spike in crime. Now, this was in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Facebook, they didn't give me a warning. They didn't take just that post down. They shut my whole account down, and I couldn't get it back. I've never gotten it back.
And the same exact same day, I posted the cover of your book, and at the same moment, they took my personal Facebook. I'd had it for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
All my old friends, tons of videos and pictures, my old high school friends, gone.
Mm-hmm.
No recourse whatsoever. You could, it said something like you can't even contest this.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
You're screwed.
Yeah,
yeah, I just lost it. We both lost on the same day. You buried the lead in this story.
I'm sorry.
You forgot to tell people what you used to do for a living in the name of your book.
I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Shameless plug here. The name of the book is Blue Lives Matter, The Heart Behind the Badge. I was a police officer for 15 years down in Florida. So I know a little bit about all this. It is a pro-police book. And apparently Facebook, you know, didn't want that on their website. And therefore, both of us wound up losing our accounts. And yeah, I had mine for about 10 or so years.
Oh yeah, and they took me down. We lived in Maine,
and
yeah.
This was in 2020. And like I said, and we're not chasing rabbits here. This has to do with what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
We're gonna bring it back into the subject in just a second. But yeah, all I did was predict that we were gonna have a spike in crime, and what happened between 2020 and 2024?
Yeah.
We've seen violent crime skyrocket in the United States. Shocking, shocking, shocking. Did I get my Facebook account back?
No.
No. Even though I was dead right with what I had to say. Mm-hmm. Anyway, moving forward. So with all that in mind, we know that Facebook doesn't want any misinformation on their website, on their platform. Mm-hmm. So you attempted to alert Meta. You got a hold of Facebook's legal...
Meta's legal investigations unit
and their chief legal officer there. Mm-hmm. And you identified to them these scammers, and they started out telling you, "We're so glad you informed us about this.
Please send us more information."
Now, the rest of the story.
Okay, so I emailed them that day, and we've got 191 of the scammers on our website now. We have over 1,000 on our spreadsheet. It's slow going because, you know, we have to make sure everybody's a legitimate scammer. That's an oxymoron, isn't it?
A legitimate scammer, yeah.
Anyway, I thought I'd give them piecemeal, send them like 10. So I sent them the Facebook link, and I copied and pasted from our article the name of the company, their website, and exactly how they were scamming people. And I said, screenshots available on request, but you can do your own research. It's easy to figure out what's going on here. Mm-hmm. Didn't hear back from them. It's okay. I'll just send them some more next week. Mm-hmm. So I sent them another email. Oh, and I went through a couple weeks later and I looked, and I think like one of those Facebook pages had been down, but it hadn't been too much time. So I sent them another batch, sent them the Facebook. For one of them, I sent them an Instagram link too, because Facebook, Meta owns Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
And these companies are advertising on Instagram as well.
Do they own LinkedIn as well?
I don't think so, but these scammers are on LinkedIn as well.
Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out who all Meta has. I can't remember. Oh, they have WhatsApp.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. Nobody's contacted me through WhatsApp from a scammer yet, so.
Yeah.
Okay. So I sent them another batch. Didn't hear anything back. By the way, I was also copying the FBI, the Department of Justice, and several other government organizations, just so they knew that. Yep. I was keeping all these. And Amazon was copying, because we have special email address at Amazon. Google was notified. We would get automatic replies by email from Amazon and Google every time.
And if I'm correct, Amazon, actually, you worked with Amazon's lawyers for a little bit, and they actually did move and get some websites taken down because those websites were using Amazon's trademarks.
Right. Let's talk about that in just a second.
Okay.
Let me finish then I wait another couple weeks, send them another batch. Wait another couple weeks, send them another batch. So in that time, and they never responded to any of my emails. The last email I sent to them, I told them, you know what's going on. You know that these companies are scamming your legitimate users. You're profiting because these companies are running ads on Facebook. You no longer have, what was the term?
Plausible deniability.
Yeah, didn't respond. But I copied all those other organizations as well. Well, after speaking to that news syndicate today, they wanted copies of all those emails. And I had them all in one email because I just kept forwarding, you know. And I clicked on every single one. In those four emails, I sent them 59 scam websites. Mm. Only 9 have been removed from Facebook.
9 out of
59.
59.
Yep.
So it would seem, this is just my humble opinion, I can't make any definitive claims against Facebook other than what I know for sure, but it seems that Facebook, that is so diligent about keeping misinformation off of its platform, doesn't seem to move very aggressively if they're getting paid for that advertising.
Oh, sure does seem that way, websites. Doesn't it?
So it seems that if you have a website that's scamming people out of their money.
But if Facebook's making money on it.
But they're paying Facebook for that advertising, and I can only imagine how many advertisements they have with Facebook, because I don't think we've seen them all.
Well, and this isn't the only industry that's getting scammed to Kingdom Come.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
But Facebook doesn't seem to move very aggressively on that disinformation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's all I'll say. Again, just my opinion.
I spoke to a marketing expert today on the phone, and he he needed to open a new ad account on Facebook for another client. And he said for a while his page was blocked. They denied him that ad account because for some reason something didn't verify whatever. So I mentioned him. I said, it's funny that Facebook goes to so much trouble to protect themselves from getting ripped off. But what are they doing to protect us?
Yeah.
The legitimate users on Facebook, a lot of older people who don't know any better. People that just, they think, well, if I would assume until we found all this out, that if Facebook was accepting paid ads from a company, then that company must be legitimate. And I guarantee you a lot of people believe that about Facebook.
Yeah. So at this point, we're going to talk about what can authors, writers, other people.
Oh, wait, the Amazon thing.
Amazon thing. Okay, we're going to jump on the Amazon.
I have allergies.
So do I.
I know, it's awful right now.
I'm backing up along here.
That tornado front that came through the other day, it really brought us something. Several of these scammers are violating Amazon's trademark, which I've mentioned before. They call themselves Amazon. They call themselves Kindle, Amazon Kindle, KDP, AMZ. They copy Amazon's logo. They copy Amazon's coloring and their websites. James Walsh put me in contact with a law firm that was suing trademark infringers. Amazon was suing trademark infringers through this law firm. I sent a woman that worked there, one of the lawyers, 4 websites that are on our list at the time. This is early on. By the end of the day, all 4 of those websites were down. Now, if Amazon has the power to do that, and if you think about all the resources that Meta and Facebook and Instagram have and how sophisticated their systems are, and they are letting these scammers come in. If you click on the scammer's page on Facebook and then click on about, you'll see an address. It's always a U.S. address, and it's always fake. Okay. Then if you click on, what's the word?
Transparency.
Thank you. That's a blonde moment there. Yeah. Then you click on, click on about, then click on transparency. In more cases than not, and not all the time, you'll see the word Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
Why can Facebook not use their algorithms and systems to determine, wait a minute, this company says they're in the U.S., but we know they're in Pakistan. Because it says page admin in Pakistan. That's being pulled from Facebook. So they know where that communication's coming from.
Yeah.
They have to have the technology to do that. Why are they not doing that?
Yeah, and that's a real simple thing that your average user can do. Okay, you see an ad, and you think you might want to do business with this company. Again, what are those steps? You click on
the company's name, so their company page pops up. Click on about. Make note of that U.S. address. It's almost always fake. Well, in our case, they're almost all fake. And then click on right underneath that is transparency.
Page
click on
transparency.
That. In many cases, you'll see Pakistan. However,
and you may have to click a button. Once that opens up, you may have to click a button to say, show more.
Yeah, show more, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. However, just because it doesn't say Pakistan does not mean they're in the United States.
Yeah, but if it does, right there.
Right there.
You walk away from that company.
Yeah, walk absolutely. Because if you send your money to Pakistan, you ain't getting it back.
Okay. So let's say, okay, so I don't see Pakistan, so I'm going to go over now to their website.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I'm looking at their website. So what are some of the things that I can do to determine whether this website is some kind of scam? One of the things that I really liked that you did was a phone number search.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Okay. You'll often find that they have different phone numbers. There's going to be one on their website. There might be a different one on Facebook. Get them all. Put them in a text file or a spreadsheet or something. Copy and paste the phone number into Google in this format. Open parentheses, number, close parentheses, space, number, hyphen, number. Click enter and see how many different websites and companies pop up that are using the exact same phone number. Sometimes it's just that company. Again, doesn't mean they're legit. Sometimes you'll see 2 or 3. I've pulled up 20 with one phone number. And look for both the phone numbers, all the phone numbers you can find. You can do the same thing with their address. What you'll often find with the address is it's a home, it's an apartment. And trust me, the company is not at that home or apartment.
So you get that address that's on their website. Go ahead and throw it into Google Maps. Google it. And then if you jump on Street View, of course, that'll give you a view usually, of that building.
Mm-hmm.
And just look at it and ask yourself, does that really look like a publishing company? To, you know,
you can also look at Google. If it is a building, Google will tell you what companies are there.
Mm-hmm.
And the scammer won't be listed there. James Walsh called random company in one of these buildings, and they said, no, that company is not in our building.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think six times when I was doing the search on Google address, excuse me again, six times in one day, the exact same building popped up, and it was a little corner store. And it looked like a little corner store, and it had like four company names etched on the door.
Yeah.
And I was able to zoom in with my mouse.
Wow.
And the scammer company was not on there, of course, but yeah, the exact yeah same building.
Okay. And then book covers. Most of these websites have book covers on them.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do with those book covers?
First of all, if you don't see a book cover on the homepage, you almost always will. If you click on their services, it'll say cover design. Go there. You'll see book covers there.
Okay. Now, that's to make you think, as a viewer of that website, that these are books that this company has published. So clearly, they're a legitimate company. Here's a big scrolling list of the pictures of all these books that they
books
published.
We've published.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
So go on.
First thing you're going to notice on some of these websites is you're going to see book covers that don't have any author name on them. Those are fake covers. Those are covers they threw together to put on their website. They're not for real books. They weren't designed for real authors. The next thing you're going to notice is book covers with titles and author names. Take those titles and author names and go to Amazon. Type in the title of the book in quotes and then type the author's name. Probably about 50% of the time, nothing comes up because the book doesn't exist.
Okay.
The other 50% of the time, the book will pop up.
Mm-hmm.
Page down till you see the part where it talks about the page count and everything, there's a line for publisher.
Now, this is, so when you search for that book, you're going to get a list of books. And that if that book exists, it should show up in that list. So
right,
you'll click on that particular book, bring up that book's purchasing page.
It's often the exact same cover.
Okay.
On the scammer's
website. Yeah, exactly.
So it's easy.
Yeah,
sometimes it's a little bit different, but yeah.
And so you're going to have a page that's going to list the book title, the price,
description
everything on the book. Scroll that down.
Scroll down mm-hmm till you find this little column on the little list on the left that says page count, whatever. So look for the word publisher.
Mm-hmm.
And in almost every case, and I can tell you 99.97% of the time, I'm talking too fast. It's not that company that published the book. And in many cases, that book was published long before that website even existed. That is copyright infringement.
Yep.
And that's also when you put something up that your company did not create, that's fraud.
Yep. Now, how do I find out when a website was put up?
Okay, this is a little more challenging. If you go to writersweekly.com/scams,
okay,
the first article is our list of 11 ways to see if it's a scammer. And that is going to be, it's on that list. what you do is you go to, you can search for who is, and that'll take you, Google who is, one word. That'll take you to ICANN.org, but it'll take you specifically to the page you need to go to. You're going to copy and paste the website address in there, but you don't include anything except the company name and like .com. No HTTP colon www. Yeah, none of that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it won't work. And then in most cases, it'll pop up, and at the bottom of the first box, the very bottom, it will say date created, and that is the exact day that website went live. If you're lucky, if you go a couple, one or two more boxes down, you might see that the website was registered in Iceland. And again, on our website, on that article, it tells you exactly how to identify if a company's in Iceland or not. So that's how you find out when the website was created.
Okay. So you got any other pointers as to things we can do to find out where these?
Another big thing is the syntax errors. If a company's offering editing services and they can't even write their own website content, or the descriptions or
anybody offering anything within the publishing or writing industry that can't spell on their own dang website,
mm-hmm.
I'd say you need to steer clear of them.
We've actually, some of the scammers have errors in their own company names. If you look at our list on our website, you'll see some and you're like, what?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just ridiculous. It's laughable. Another thing to look out for is a horizontal line with a bunch of logos from major media outlets in it. Definitely, you know what? It's a scammer. They're all doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. CNN, NBC, New York Post, that kind of thing. You know, they that's trademark infringement. And using deception to try to get business is fraud. So that's illegal also. Author testimonials. If you publish a book for an author, don't you want that book to sell?
I would think, right?
So why put the author's first name only or first initial and last name and no book title and no link to the book?
We have on both of our Book Locker website, and I know plenty of times on Writers Weekly, we've posted reviews or nice comments from our authors,
mm-hmm.
and we'll post them for our advertisement purposes. But we always say right under that comment, so and so author of whatever their book they wrote,
and the link to buy it.
Yeah, it's really great for them. To tell everybody what a wonderful company it is, or yeah, let me start this again. What a wonderful company we are, but it's even better if we can get people to go buy their book because we make money from that. The author makes money from that. So yeah, it only makes sense. So to just put somebody's name up there and you don't tell them that they wrote a book. In fact, I don't even think they tell you who that person is. It's just Joe Schmo making a nice comment about our company.
They put up those fake author testimonials.
Yes.
Sometimes the faces are cartoon faces.
Mm-hmm.
But more often than not, it's a stock image they've taken from the internet.
How do you find out if it's a stock image?
Do you know who actually taught me this? Mason. Mason's 18, by the way. Mason taught me this. He was doing it because I was looking at one while he was looking at one. And he's on his own now. We're on the phone and he's walking me through it. And I'm like, hold on, I got to save the photo and pull it up on photo. He said, Mom. He said, right click on the photo and it's like a copy photo URL or copy photo link.
Yeah.
Go to
Google
image search, paste it in there, and then go to the next page. And there's a thing at the top, search image. And you'll be shocked, probably not, by you pulling up, the image pops up top from that website, page down a little bit, and that person's photo's all over the internet.
It was a stock image taken off of iStock Photos or
Pixabay
or one of the thousand of stock image websites.
Yeah, model, and they've advertised its eyeglasses, and they work at an OB-GYN's office, and I mean, it's just everywhere. Yeah. And so step number 7 or 8, telling you to just walk away from this company. If they have multiple 5-star reviews on Trustpilot that were all posted in close proximity to each other, those are fake. I can tell you right now.
Yeah.
I was telling the news syndicate this morning about there was a company, they launched their website the first week of January, and I looked at it later, but within a week of that, no, 5 days of that company, that website launching, they had multiple 5-star reviews on Trustpilot for books. One of them was a woman who, she said, they illustrated my children's book. They did such a great job. I don't know if you people know about how illustrating works. You can't illustrate an entire book in a week, much less like 2 months. It's a labor intensive job.
Yeah.
So never trust. The scammers, almost all of them have the Trustpilot logo on their website and it has 5 stars in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you go to Trustpilot, by the way, only look at the 1-star reviews on Trustpilot. Those are the only ones we trust anymore. You'll see in many cases, there's nothing about them on Trustpilot at all.
Yeah.
They don't have 5 stars on Trustpilot. And if there are, it's usually not 5 stars.
We've had a little pushback from Trustpilot when we go to them and say, hey, this is a scam company. They don't even exist. And you got a bunch of 5-star ratings for them. And then they kind of push back, say, we can't prove that. And they don't want to take them down.
They removed 2 of my negative reviews, 2 of my 1-star reviews about scammers. And they explained to me by email why they did it. And I was able to take it to the next level. And I gave them screenshots and all the proof we had on these companies, and they still took my reviews down, but they left up the 5-star reviews about the company. Mm-hmm. Now, I recently...
I wonder if there's a program where you get to pay Trustpilot to...
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
Give you some good reviews or keep your good reviews.
Well, I don't know about that, but I do know that Trustpilot has turned into the Wild West. Mm-hmm. I can go into Trustpilot under a variety of names and email addresses and post all kinds of reviews for myself. Now, I'm not sure if I should talk about this or not. Somebody posted something about us on Trustpilot and it was completely untrue. It's ridiculous. Provably untrue. So I had to go in and claim the Trustpilot page for Writers Weekly. And then I have a free account on there. I can't find a way to contact Trustpilot. There should be a button where I can say, you know, contest this, or there's nothing. Well, I get an email a few days later welcoming me to Trustpilot.
Yeah.
And I wrote back to the guy and I said, look, dude, all these 5-star reviews, you know, they're fake. What's going on here? I've got this 1-star review. I don't even offer the services this person was talking about. I'm a website for freelance writers. I don't offer this. I don't offer that. It's totally a scam. And I know it was done by somebody who we exposed as a fraudster that's advertising on your site.
Yeah.
Crickets. Wow. They didn't remove the negative review and they never wrote back to me. Jeez. What does that tell you?
Let's go ahead and if there's a few other things that you can do, and they are spelled out on writersweekly.com/scams.
The first link is where you want to go.
And the first link is where you want to go for that for all these steps. And it behooves everybody when you're looking at a company, you know, play around with some of these steps. Take a look at them. See what you can find. And you could wind up saving yourself a lot of hassle and money. So if somebody does find themselves getting, you know, they find out they have been scammed, we're highly recommending that they report this. Don't be embarrassed. Don't tuck your tail between your legs and hide. This has to come out.
And you, in doing so, you're helping others to avoid being victimized in the future. And again, a lot of these victims are elderly.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't have the sophistication, online sophistication, to know how to prevent themselves from getting scammed.
And in our article,
I understood you in
writersweekly.com, we are listing links to the FBI, the DOJ, Facebook's investigation team, Google's mm-hmm. Facebook investigation team.
Not that even Facebook's going to do anything about it.
Not well. Maybe if they hear from enough people, but who knows?
They are getting contacted by that news syndicate.
Good.
So
awesome.
Yeah. I want to interrupt you for a second.
We'll go right ahead.
Go to writersweekly.com/scams. The first article is how to protect yourself. The second article is the list of scammers, the running list of scammers. In that article, we have links to all the authorities that you need to report this
exactly.
to.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Additionally, you don't want to just write the FBI, the DOJ, investigative agency, and say, I got scammed.
Yeah.
That's not enough. And they're going to put that in their trash because they can't do anything with it. Mm-hmm. For anybody to investigate anything, and this is not only law enforcement agencies, this is even like Facebook investigative people, if they want to investigate something, they need to know what they're looking for.
They're going to pay far more attention to correspondence that appears professional from a business person. So that's why when I contact companies and Facebook and everybody, remember back from high school, well, they probably don't teach this anymore, but they taught us, you know, the date, skip a line, name, address of the agency, regarding name of the company and website, and say, greetings, my name is so-and-so. On this day, I saw an ad or were contacted by whatever. give as much detail as you can that's going to help them. Don't assume that
emotions
they...
emotions out of it.
You know more than they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and keep your emotions out of it. Yeah. Be very, very businesslike. The more professional you are, the far greater chance they're going to pay attention to your correspondence.
No bold letters, no all caps, no
zillion exclamation points.
No, it's, you know, multiple exclamation points, all this stuff. And again, you simply, on this date, I contacted this website at this address. You know, they offered this service. I paid them this much money via this, you know, ACH. I sent them my credit card, whatever, however you paid them. You know, then so much time went by, I didn't hear from them, or I heard from them this many times, but then, you know, however things changed, you just need to give a good, unemotional, chronological, just the facts.
And we're all writers, so we should be able to do that.
And we should all be able to do that if we're all writers. And
it also wrap it up by, at this point in time, you probably will have done your research after the fact and realized, uh-oh, I'm not the only one. You let them know, I'm not the only one. Here's a link to this complaint, that complaint. They got an F on Better Business Bureau, you know, 51-star reviews on Trustpilot, whatever. Give them a few quotes. But again, keep it very businesslike. But the more you can show them that it's a bigger problem than just you, that's even better. They'll pay more attention to that.
And the one of the most important facts you need to put in there is that you paid this company money and you received nothing in return.
Or you weren't given what you were promised.
Yeah, to a certain extent, if you are provided with a service, but it was just a really crappy service.
Well, it could be like the one I said, she ordered editing and they guaranteed her it would be a native English speaker located in the U.S. and her manuscript came back with a bunch of Spanish words in it and worse. That's clearly fraud. She got a product back, but it was fraud.
Perhaps, yeah.
Yeah.
It depends on what because a lawyer is going to say nothing, but you know, that's at another level. But yeah, basically it's just important. And even, well, I'm going to tell everybody right now, once you've given your money to these people, your chances of getting that money back are slim and none. The reason you'd be reporting it is so that the cases can be built and, you know, eventually, hopefully the government will get involved with this and put pressure on whatever country these people are in to either go after them, shut them down or whatever. Gosh, I'm sure somebody within our government has the technological ability to simply shut websites down anywhere in the world that they want.
But Amazon can get it done.
Yeah. That. So, but that's why it's important to report this stuff and not go silent, not be so upset that you got scammed, that you just hide in the closet, because that's not going to help anybody. And it is important that if you found the advertisement for this company, whatever company scammed you, on Facebook or any other social media platform, you need to be reporting that as well, not only to that platform, but to these agencies to proper authorities, because... Again, in my opinion, Facebook's not going to do anything about this because they're making too much money until it costs them too much to continue accepting these advertisements.
Yeah.
And costing them too much is either going to be in the form of class action lawsuits or government intervention.
Yep.
And it's not going to happen until enough people report this stuff.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so important, because like I said, clearly it appears that Facebook and some of these other platforms just don't care that their users are getting bilked out of thousands and,
they're
thousands,
legitimate,
and thousands of dollars.
Legitimate users that have been using the site for in good faith for years and years. And it's time for them to be held accountable for what's going on. They know what's going on. We know firsthand they know what's going on.
Well, folks, for this and other articles pertaining to everything in the professional writing industry, go to writersweekly.com. If you've got a book you'd like to publish, go to booklocker.com. We don't have any overseas phone banks. We don't have chat bots. When you contact booklocker.com, you're going to be talking to either Angela herself, you might get to talk to me a little bit, or you're going to talk to one of our close-knit team members that are actually the ones working on your book. You're not going to be talking to some, you know, rep on a phone that's never going to see your book and they're going to pass the message on to somebody else. Angela, I think we covered all the meat and potatoes here. You got any last words before we close this out?
One last word. You mentioned whether you sent them an ACH payment or whatever. Never, ever pay anybody overseas with anything but a credit card, because chances are, you know, especially ACH payments, you're never getting your money back. A lot of the scammers say, oh, our credit card system's down, we need you to wire us money. No, they don't have a credit card system.
One person you have been communicating with actually did a chargeback to his credit card, got that money back, but then that company started saying, wait a minute, don't do that chargeback. Just cancel that chargeback, and we're going to have you sign some papers, and then we'll send you your refund. It's like, why? He already got his money back.
He set up yours. They also were demanding that he sign an NDA, non-disclosure agreement. By the way, never sign one of those before, during, or after you're getting published. Any company that's offering you that is doing that to stop you from complaining about them online. They wanted him to sign an NDA, cancel his chargeback, then they would send him his money, and boy, we all had a big laugh about that.
Well, we want to thank everybody for listening to this podcast again. We know there's millions and millions of podcasts out there. We are in a rather little niche subject here, but we're really happy that you chose the Writers Weekly podcast to listen to, and we hope you'll continue listening to us. Tune in again next week for the next episode of the Writers Weekly podcast.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Thanks again for listening to the Writers Weekly podcast. Don't forget, you can always log on to writersweekly.com to find resources that can help you make money from your writing. Do you have a book you want to publish? Head on over to booklocker.com, where there are no overseas call centers and no chatbots. You talk to Angela and her team directly. We look forward to having you join us on the next episode of the Writers Weekly podcast.